This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, July 7th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning. I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Soybeans soar on speculation. USTR holds hearings on tariffs and input sought on food for peace. Soybeans climbed the most in nearly a year yesterday amid concern about extreme weather and hopes of fresh Chinese purchases of U.S. crops. Speculation that Chinese importers are buying 5 cargoes of soybeans helped to lift futures nearly 4%, according to Austin Schroeder. He's president and owner of Schroeder Commodity Marketing. Further, Chinese media reporting that the U.S. and China are continuing to work on a mutual board of trade, said StoneX Group chief commodities economist Arlen Sudeman. That spurring, quote, hope and optimism for increased purchases. Corn jumped 3.7% and wheat 2.4% after overcoming a challenging, abnormally hot and wet June growing season, said Virginia McGathy, president of McGathy Commodities. Heat waves in the central and eastern U.S. stoking weather worries as European forecast models call for a hot and dry August in the Midwest. Sudeman, however, points out that at least one American forecaster is, quote, debunking that outlook. Mixed weather outcomes were on display last week in Iowa. Some parts of the state saw more than double the rain normally expected this time of year, Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Naig said in a statement yesterday. There have been widespread reports of flooded fields and basements, swollen streams and rivers, and impacts to roads and other infrastructure, Naig said. At the same time, other areas of the state, including drought-affected portions of the northwest and north-central Iowa, received much-needed rainfall. Looking ahead, the forecast calls for additional chances of thunderstorms across much of the state through midweek, with warmer and drier conditions expected through mid-July. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative is holding a series of multi-day hearings to determine the future of proposed Section 301 tariffs this week. USTR will hear testimony today through the 9th on Section 301 tariffs on 60 nations for importing goods produced with forced labor. The ad valorem tariffs are on those nations range from 10% to 12.5%, according to the Federal Register. U.S. Trade Representative's office launched the investigation into the 60 nations on March 12th, less than a month after the Supreme Court struck down the Trump administration's sweeping global tariffs. USTR exempted certain agriculture goods from tariffs, including bovine products, seasonal tomatoes, coffee, coconuts, and certain nuts, among others. Several agricultural groups will appear before the panel, including the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, Organic Trade Association, American Seed Trade Association, U.S. Wine Trade Alliance, American Coalition for Fair Trade in Seafood, American Cotton Producers, and North American Olive Oil Association, among others. Separately, USTR holding a two-day hearing that concludes today on a proposal to impose a 25% Section 301 tariff on Brazilian imports with an exemption for beef products. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. America's dairy farmers are committed to feeding the nation, but their ability to do so depends on sound, science-based policies. That's why they rely on Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the number 2 milk cooperative in the country and a leading voice for progressive, farmer-driven leadership in Washington, D.C. Edge represents dairy farmers and their families across the country, the backbone of rural communities and a vital part of our food security. From environmental regulation and workforce development to trade and sustainability, Edge ensures farmer perspectives are heard and that decisions in D.C. are grounded on facts, not politics. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, advancing policies that strengthen America's farms, safeguard our environment, and sustain the next generation of dairy leaders. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. RFA makes case for U.S. retaliatory tariff on Brazilian ethanol. At that hearing, the Renewable Fuels Association voiced strong support for the Trump administration's push to slap a 25% reciprocal levy on most imports from Brazil. That includes ethanol. The proposed tariff is, quote, reasonably close in value to the 18% duty that's been in place in Brazil for several years. Edward Hubbard, RFA's general counsel and vice president of government affairs, said yesterday in testimony before the USTR. Brazil's punitive trade barriers started in 2017, soured what had been an open and efficient two-way trading relationship in ethanol, which had led to a sharp rise in biofuel trade between the U.S. and Brazil, he said. But the South American nation's subsequent pro-tariff regime was a clear effort to disadvantage U.S. ethanol, according to Hubbard. U.S. ethanol shipments to Brazil accounted for just 1.3% of total U.S. exports of the biofuel in 2024, 1.8% last year, after making up about a third of all exports as recently as 2018, according to RFA. Hubbard also noted that Renova Bio, Brazil's policy meant to lower the carbon intensity of transportation fuel, is expected to generate 5 billion gallons of biofuel demand in Brazil through 2030. Yet after 5 years, not a single U.S. ethanol plant has received a full certification from the Brazilian government to generate credits under the program, he said. USDA's Foreign Agriculture Service is asking the public to weigh in on Food for Peace, the program that helps people in food insecure areas worldwide while supporting U.S. farmers. The request reflects a focus on putting U.S. farmers first by improving the program, USDA said yesterday. The Trump administration froze spending on foreign assistance in January while dismantling the U.S. Agency for International Development, which housed Food for Peace. The program was eventually moved to the Agriculture Department through Congress, though Congress still must act to make the transfer permanent. USDA is asking for feedback on non-emergency programming, and that includes designating and implementing the program in a way that increases food security, builds resilience, and reduces, ultimately eliminates, the need for U.S. government humanitarian food assistance. Next, identifying current commodity supply constraints, product opportunities, and logistics needs. And finally, improving nutritional formulations using high-quality American agriculture products. The USDA is asking for responses by 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on July 24th. A resurgence of highly pathogenic avian influenza is hitting dairy herds across the West. Idaho seeing 40 new cases over the last 30 days, and Utah seeing 8, according to USDA data. While a wave of HPAI cases spread through the U.S. dairy herds in 2024, case counts had fallen substantially by mid-2025, with only 12 cases detected between June of 25 and March of 26. However, new cases began circulating through Idaho in April, and cases also began appearing in Utah by early June. Texas also saw a case in late May. Unlike in poultry, most dairy cattle infected with HPAI tend to recover, though the virus can reduce milk production. Though not fully negotiated yet, the U.S.-Uzbekistan early harvest trade commitments have received plaudits from the International Dairy Foods Association. Even though dairy products may not be included in the final deal, IDFA says in a press release that it supports USTR's pursuit of agreements with emerging markets that are critical to the diversification and protection of U.S. dairy supply chains. The association also, quote, celebrated the implementation of the U.S.-European Union trade agreement effective July 1. The EU now allows for tariff-free imports of up to 10,000 metric tons of U.S. cheese and 10,000 metric tons of other dairy products. IDFA noted that the EU, quote, also agreed to reduce tariffs on up to 50,000 metric tons of U.S. infant formula and related products and streamline dairy certification requirements. U.S. exporters will be able to take advantage of those TRQs immediately as the entirety of quota volumes is now available at the reduced tariff rate through June 30, 2027. Here's today's final word. I don't think we're seeing it. We have had a lot of drought and dry areas in the big cattle country in the western states, and that really is holding down expansion. I just don't see it in a hurry turning very fast. That U.S. Cattlemen's Association President Justin Tupper on whether he's seen any indications of cattle herd expansion. The shortage of cattle is being felt across the meatpacking industry by big and small processors alike, and it's costing jobs. Tyson Foods closed its plant in Lexington, Nebraska, putting hundreds of people out of work, leaving a rural area looking for answers. Offering Band-Aid solutions to only certain processors ignores the underlying problem of a historic livestock shortage that risks the livelihoods of thousands of workers who rely on union meatpacking jobs in their communities. That the word of United Food and Commercial Workers International Union President Milton Jones. He's responding to USDA's plan to pay smaller beef processing companies to help the industry weather a historic cattle shortage. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, July 7th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.